Back Pocket Productions. We are back. Today is Tuesday, December 13th, Decky Park City. How are we?
Andy Bojangles, we are living the dream, brother. Happy to round out the year of podcasting. I think this is, what, our second podcast we've done this year? We're becoming experts at this.
Yeah, we're experts. This is literally our second one. Last one was in April.
Yeah, between you and I, this is our second together, and then I did two individually with Jeff Cole and Parker Olson. Just both guys were happened to be in town, and it was all about it. But yeah, man, we're really tripling down on us podcasting this year. It's very apparent.
It's very apparent. I love too how now people ask us, with it being more on the production side, date night podcast and everything. Are people ask, like, are you podcasting? Like, is that done? And it's like, I mean, it's never done, but like, we're just not podcasting right now. That question always comes up, like, are you done? I was like, what? How can we be done?
Yeah, exactly. It's like we've been producing podcasts for people all year. We've been producing the Date Night podcast, which is, you know, an entire operation in its own. We're definitely still busy, don't get me wrong. But yeah, podcasts between us, I mean, or podcasts with guests and everything, like, the focus has shifted elsewhere, and I think that's going to be a lot of what we get into today. And I think the reason we podcast is obviously, first and foremost, to just network with people because that we're curious in, and with our fundraiser coming, the fundraiser that we're in right now, our mental health fundraiser with Masonic Children's Hospital, you know, that in itself, there's a lot of really cool people in the space that we really want to get to know, and thus we're curious, and then thus came the idea of recording podcasts. And you know, that's really what brings us here today, and I'm stoked for it, man. I mean, I also think it's just really funny, you and I both took the corner spot of our couches in our respective homes. Yeah, and then we also just were like, yeah man, let's hop on at 6 p.m and let's bang this out. And we both have equipment just dialed in. We'd miss no steps.
Dialed in. I turned on the Zoom or entered the Zoom room, and we are literally in the identical spot. Like, two peas in a pod. Don't skip a beat. We're 330 in. We know what we're doing. But this is like a perfect time to bring the podcast back. Where we always focus at the end of the year is bringing our community together to give back. And through the give back, we've always found the most value, and like Deck mentioned, in having the conversations with the people in our community. Yes, like, we're going to be sitting down, we're going to be talking about potential companies that can match us, and we want to raise $50,000 and get as many people involved as possible. But we always find that when we have these conversations, whether they're 30 minutes, they're an hour and a half, when we get to know someone new, that connection is just deepened, and we now know, like, they're in our corner and we're in theirs, and that relationship is only going to flourish going forward. And like, doing that 300 times over now in the last 6 years, it's really coming to fruition, and seeing it on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, when we have chances to do stuff like this, or someone else has something come up and we get to get involved with them.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you nailed it. I think it's funny to look back at all 330 plus episodes, and like, well over half of them are like our best friends, people who are helping us produce anything that we're doing nowadays, with either like the Date Night podcast or basically anything. We have those people as resources, and we were contacted by the Masonic Children's Hospital back in the summer by a podcast guest, Patrick Larson.
A long-time marketing intern.
Long-time marketing intern, yeah. And that episode, I think, is like 317 or three. It's in the 300 teens, if you want to maybe look that up while I'm talking about him, Andrew. He hit us up. He works for the U of M, and he was like, hey, I saw what you guys did with, you know, getting a family out of a hotel and into a house. Do you guys have any interest in, like, doing a very similar fundraising effort with the Masonic Children's Hospital and the U of M? And at first, you know, I was really just like, okay, what are we getting into? And I think we knew our buddy Michael Jordan, who runs Unreal, we knew he had, you know, fundraised with them in the past, and his suggestion was just like, go tour the space, you know, go see what the opportunity is and, you know, make an evaluation from there. And obviously, Andrew, you took a tour, which I thought was really cool. But I think the thing that really turned us on to our fundraiser this year was the idea that, you know, the Masonic Children's Hospital gets millions of dollars in donations every single year, supporting kids with cancer. All kinds of various diseases are supported. Families who have these kids in the hospital are supported. But there's this new wave of facilities and patients in the mental health space that really doesn't see any near the amount of money. And Masonic Children's Hospital is one of the few in the area that has some of these different programs that support mental health. And that, to me, was the moment that it clicked in my head that this, we have a chance to make a huge impact. And unlike last year, where, you know, we're telling the story of one family and we get to show, you know, show everyone, hey, like, this is a family that's fallen on hard times, that's, you know, living in a hotel, let's raise money to get them out of it. This year, it's like we're focused on a story that is on something that is affecting millions of people. You know, how are we going to tell that story of millions of people, of various stories and various things within the mental health space that are affecting these people, right? Mental health is an everyday conversation. So our approach this year is like so flipped on its head in terms of what we're used to. But at the same time, the opportunity, the energy behind it has been super fruitful. And I'm excited to like continue it, honestly.
Yes, absolutely. And the mental health, like I was able to go to the hospital and see, you know, the whole facility firsthand with Patrick guiding me through everything. And then I was able to go to the children's health holiday party this week and get to like learn more and more, as this is so new to us that we're still kind of like figuring out the impact that we will be able to help make through fundraising for mental health. And one of the things that they were talking about, children that are struggling like with mental health, having a panic attack, some type of you know, disorder, and they're getting turned away from hospitals because they don't have the space for it, because it's lower on the totem pole in terms of, you know, all the other things that are going on inside a hospital, and they're having to go to urgent care, or they're having to go to the ER to find help with their issue. And that's, to me, and like hearing it, is like probably the worst possible spot that they can go to. Like having, like, think about having some type of mental health issue and you're having to go to the ER. I mean, that is just
having a panic attack, and then all of a sudden they're telling you you're going to the ER instead of like hanging out with like a golden retriever, doing something that like might be a little bit more effective to your panic attack. No, I hear what you're saying. It's like kind of the wrong, it's like square peg, round hole almost.
Exactly. And but that's like their only option. And again, I'm learning about this like firsthand, and I'm excited to have conversations down the line with people that we have lined up in the next couple days to continue to figure out how we are going to make this impact. Because you're right, it's like it was so tangible in the past with Best Christmas Ever, where we were raising money for a specific family. We were getting gifts. We were helping out with rent. We were helping get a family out of their hotel that they were living in. So there was like very clear direction. Now there is a massive amount of people with this issue, and we have the ability to leave an impact.
Totally. Yeah. And we're obviously going for $50,000 this year. We are, as of today, we are at like $6,800, which is super cool. We've been raising money for about 2 weeks, and yeah, I mean, we're well on our way. We're just gonna see where it takes us, man. That's, I think, the best part and the beauty of like the fundraising efforts in general, is just trying to ride the wave, follow the signs, as you say, Andrew, and see where this ends up. And I actually did look it up, Patrick Larson episode 323.
Yes, I looked it up too, and then I got sidetracked. And you know what's funny?
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I got sidetracked. What's funny is episode 324, the one right after that, is with Jordan Woodruff. Which I just think is like, what was the date on that? That was August 24, 2021. It was like right before she was headed to New York to work her other job and then transition to like winning the raffle and working at Barstool. Now she's this
work at Barstool.
Yeah, massive personality. Yeah. It's just, I just love this shit.
Yeah, telling the story or looking at the story in reverse is like, it's so clear and concise. And it's so clear and concise because it's such a surprise in the moment, and you have to just kind of ride it out. And that's why I think I love the podcast and what we do with this show, because it's definitely turned away from just like doing as many episodes as possible with as many people. And I think we were very intentional when we were doing that. We've now shifted just our focus to like the things that we're genuinely interested and capable of. We're on Zoom calls every day of the week. We're not, you know, we don't necessarily want to just continue to do the podcast over Zoom. We like to do things with intentionality. And I think, you know, we've done with the date night podcast and averaging like 230 people an episode. And then having that culminate to almost 400 people, and having like a portion of those ticket sales, be the kickoff of this mental health fundraiser. Like, it's cool to see the evolution of like where we find interest in what we like to do. And it's gonna be sick, man. Like, I'm excited to talk to a couple of these people in the space. So just to give you guys a highlight, we'll be releasing podcasts shortly after this one. I don't know the date off the top of my head just yet, but basically we'll have one of our guests is Emily Rooney, a good friend of ours, who we met in submerged in cold water at Lake Harriet in early 2020. Where she's going to come on the podcast. She's got a great story and an awesome mental health journey and insight there. We have, who are the other ones, Andrew? We got Mark Dowell, of course, and then Paul Martin. Those are our three guests that we've forecasted thus far.
Yes, and real quick, so Mark Dowdle will be talking. So Emily Rooney, she works used to work for the Vikings, now works at the Big Ten, and
works with big old Kevin Warren, the commissioner.
Yes, Kevin Warren. So we have that conversation. That's going to be the next one. I'm just looking up real quick because she's also involved with. No, I'm thinking of Paul Martin. Sorry. So Emily Rooney and then Mark Dowdle. And what we love with Mark Dowdle, I mean, we have to document once a year what's going on in Mark Dowdle's head. But he brought to light earlier this year.
So important.
Yes, so important. He brought to light earlier this year how much money him with Love Like Lori and us with the foundations that we've been a part of have been fortunate to raise over the last 2 years. And now what he just did with his past run, raising, was it $50,000? I think it was.
Yeah, 53,000.
Yeah, just over $50,000. Like, collectively, we've raised over like $150,000 in the last 2 years, all like helping each other along the way and seeing our community, like I said in the very beginning, seeing our community go like all the pushing it all the way forward and making this happen. Like, that is what like really fires me up. It shocks me every single year, the amount of people we've touched and the amount of people that want to help. It's really, really awesome. And then Paul Martin.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited with Mark. And then with Paul Martin, ex NHL player, and he also has a nonprofit, Shine a Light, which focuses on youth mental health awareness. So that is going to be an awesome conversation with what he started there.
Cool, man. Yeah, it's going to be, like I said, lots of fantastic, intentional conversation that we're about to have here. And it's going to be fun to get back into the interviewing flow. You know, what questions is Andy going to ask? What things am I going to ask that could potentially derail the conversation? You know, there's all kinds of unknowns that we don't know yet. And I'm excited to uncover that, see what happens, you know? More specifically with Dowdle too. Just wanted to touch on that a little bit. Just it is like the value is like you said, $150,000, but it's all literally just like from pure intention, like day to day, and just and coming up with all these different concepts to figure out how to raise that money. Like, you, we're all, you know, working side jobs. We're not like doing seed rounding, raising money for, you know, not like a, like our own company. We're, but we're doing very similar things and tactics with businesses and brands and people. And, we're able to basically pull a significant amount of money. And I think, you know, it's not necessarily about the money, but it's just about, like I said, the intention. I think that's just so cool that, like, that's what we decided to do at some point of our off hours, in our 20s. And I think that's, if there's anything that we look back on, that's always something that I'll always be most proud of. And it's cool to see the recognition, obviously, that we give each other. And I'm excited to, like, talk about that. But then, you know, when we talked to your dad and hadn't seen your dad in, gosh, I don't know how long I haven't seen him. I think my mullet was a little shorter, but he said he was really, first and foremost, impressed with, like, what we're doing and the persistence that you and I both have with building Back Pocket together. But then the second thing he said was, I just love that you guys do something charitable every year. And I think holding on to that is so important. It's cool to just know that, like, people recognize that and people understand the hustle behind it and, like, the intentionality is there. It's cool. Mm. I'm really excited.
It's awesome. And, like, the ways that we've gone about the fundraising has been kind of a culmination of focusing on mental health. If like the events that we host and the way that we've kind of gotten involved with the city over the last 6 years, we've always focused on, like, the Matt Weiss of the world and the JC Lippolds and the Liz Krugers, all of those people that are, like, meditation focused, movement focused, bringing people together. So, like, that also, like, resonates with us because we kind of put that on a forefront whenever we think about doing anything, in this city. It always comes back to, being active and trying to, you know, just simply smile, like bring joy to whatever we're doing, be knuckleheads out and roll in the grass, the Austin Yoakam be a baby type mentality.
Totally.
And then we're bringing another event that we've done the past 2 years back into play this year that also speaks to mental health. Speaking of Emily Rooney sitting in the ice water, Luis, the man who started this whole trend in Minneapolis, I'm firm in that, in jumping in the lake, and embracing the fire and ice, persona. We are going to be back at Embrace.
Can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like Andrew said, we're getting on, December 17th, we're hosting a big event at Embrace North's new facility. It's going to be a fundraising event for mental health. We'll get more into the details, but, like, to describe Embrace North to anyone that has no idea what Embrace North is, you basically are like, yeah, this guy, he's from Guatemala, finds himself in Minnesota, and decides that the best thing he could possibly do for himself is freeze his ass off. And in doing so, he falls in love with it and starts an entire brand and movement around it. And it takes the entire local city by storm. And, like, it's so funny because, like, the local Minnesotans feel like an inner passion and draw to back up the fact that they're from Minnesota, and they're feeling that they should be cold, that this is good for them. And it is good for you. Like, there's all kinds of benefits, physically, mentally, emotionally, with jumping in the ice water. But it's just like, I feel like if you're from Minnesota, you have to feel like that is the standard. Like, if I'm from Minnesota, I am doing ice plunges because that's how it goes. And I just think Luis did such a great job of capturing that. And just his background being from Guatemala and everything makes it that much better of a story.
Amen. And he makes it less intimidating, which is, like,
totally
is crazy because, you know, your body is always in a state of, like, almost in a state of panic right before you get in. If it's your first time, second time, early time doing it, like, you're trying to still yourself and, like, all right, here we go, I'm about to shock the system. And the way that he's gone about it, with first jumping in the lake, then he just got these, like, big black bins and stuck them in the back of his gym, And now he's got these giant Yeti coolers that are used for hunting out in, like, their portable coolers that you use in Montana after you kill big game. And he's got like 8 of them. And then he incorporates
these. More than that, dude. He's got like 40 of them.
Yeah, 8 of them in the back of his gym, but then, like, he brings them everywhere. I think we're going to be auctioning off one at our event. Hopefully. Yes.
That's confirmed.
Cool. And I can go on and on about it, because then he's got the saunas, the portable saunas. He's got the sauna poppy hats that are actually...
And sticks.
And sticks. But the hats are actually sick because... you know, you sweat from the top of your head, and then immediately, like, you're losing heat. So when you put on these, like, those little hats, it keeps the heat trapped in there, and you're not sweating off the top of your head. And I don't know, the way he explained it, you're receiving far more benefits from it. And then he's got the poppy sticks. The dude's insane. I love him.
Yeah. A true entrepreneur, a true hustler, a true, obviously, a true team member. You know, the guy's a leader in the space. I'm stoked, man. I'm excited to watch you guys plunge. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be great.
But yeah, man, I mean, there's a lot to look forward to, obviously. We have the event itself, we got the podcast, we have just the money coming in, the networking that we've been doing just with getting to know the supporters and players within Masonic Children's Hospital. Like, it's just been a whole new realm of opportunity, I guess, for us. And I think there's a lot to look forward to there, man. But I'd like to transition to... Ooh, good call. I got to hit my record on my camera too, Andy. What I will say is I'd like to, you know, speaking of looking forward, I'd like to look forward to, you know, the shit we're doing and in kind of the headspace, you know, touch on a little bit of the headspace that we're in right now. You know, so obviously we went from recording many of podcasts in a year to now dropping down to 4 podcasts just with us, you know. And I think that's just a representation of the fact that we have other endeavors that we're more like, that we're just far more passionate about, and things that we're just focused on. So I'd like to kind of touch on those things. Do we want to make it a segment? Is there something that we'd like to just describe this as, Andy?
Yes. You know, our theme has always been to Mars, and sure. 2023, what are we focusing on? And we use this time of the year to refocus, reset, re-engage, and get on the attack.
Ooh, nice.
I say we're fueling up right now.
I like that. Yes. Gas me up.
Yeah, gas me up. Let's fuel up.
I like it, dude. Take a little stop, a little pit stop at the fuel station. Why not?
The rocket engine is a little low, and we gotta refuel up.
We gotta refuel, man. So I love it. So anyways, obviously things coming up that we're stoked about is getting ready for season 4 of the Date Night Podcast. So we're repartnering with Grace. We're going to be announcing our dates. I'm not going to say when it begins. The season 4 begins with, it starts in the month starting with an M. People may think March. People may think May. We don't know.
People may think Movember.
Movember. Definitely. We'll find out. So yeah, we got season 4. We are exploring the potential to take the Date Night Podcast global. We get do a little bit of a tour, potential new locations outside of the state of Minnesota, which we're stoked about. There's a lot going on. And then I think, you know, there's going to be a little bit of rebranding coming through on the back pocket streams. We should definitely address the fact that I'm a little bit sick of looking at our logo from 5 years ago. And that's no offense to Annie Vitale, who designed it as part of her class in college. But just I'm a little over it. I think we have some new things that we might need to explore there, Andrew.
Yeah, the new logo, the rebrand it's inevitable. We attempted it this summer and we just failed to put the headspace towards it. The logo is still sitting right here. You know, I love the logo.
It's sick. I love the logo.
The one thing that actually bothers me is you and I in the logo on like our Instagram and like that part of it is super dated. Yes, we're going to get a new logo, but the thing that actually, like, when I open Instagram and I see our Instagram handle, like, I don't know. We got to
change that for sure. Like, that's not the best, you know.
It's not the best.
It's not great.
No.
It's not the best.
No, we're going to take on a rebrand. Even our website is going to shift up a little bit. We got to clean up our messaging. And I want people to stop asking me, are you done podcasting? Like, that's where our rebrand is going to be focused towards. Like, no, we're not done, but we're a production company and we're taking on these endeavors. Like, we're taking the Date Night podcast on the road. That is happening. And that is like the coolest thing to say when people ask, hey, what's next? And I always get annoyed with that question. Also, I gotta stop
getting a little annoyed.
Yeah. Why am I keep getting annoyed? I gotta have a little self-reflection here. But people love to ask what's happening next. And it's like, what are we doing right now? Like, let's just, like, we just packed 369 people in a tent in November. For our season finale, like, that was insane. I'm so proud of everyone that was involved in making that happen. And then it's like, okay, what's next? Yes, there are things upcoming and people want to know, because we always have these next things. So I guess I shouldn't get annoyed. I should be excited that people want to know what's happening.
They're asking because they want to be a part of it. Yeah. I think that's like most unique part about the whole situation.
I got to check my mental health. I need to do some.
Yeah, you need a bit of a mental health check. It's very apparent. But yeah, we're taking DMP on the road. I mean, it's that simple. We will have some locations and new venues to announce outside of the state of Minnesota, and we'll definitely be reaching out for your help to find people that will be a viable fit for the show. And I'm excited for that. I think another thing that we really uncovered too is that we've been able to build a legitimate, well-oiled machine of a team. Like, we had 15, 16 people working all at the same time every Tuesday night for 20 different episodes this year, with you at the helm and, you know, me guiding from afar. That is something that we have never even come close to doing before. And the fact that we can take, like, the Date Night podcast show, or the Date Night podcast, and basically run that show out on a Tuesday and then have the show dropping on a Thursday with 7 pieces of content, ready to be distributed on like 7 platforms, like, that's a company. Like, that right there is something that could be used for any sort of concept. And I think I'm just very impressed with our ability to build that intentionally and build it with people who really want to be there. And, you know, when you talk about looking ahead, it's like, how could you not build something more with that? There's so many other ideas or things that you can fuel to allow that thing to grow. And I think that right there is the intellectual property that we've built ourselves that will carry us further in 23.
Amen. It feels like, to us, the worthy path.
100%.
Absolutely, right? And, like, the easy path has always been, not always been, but I'm consuming content all the time, and you see camera front facing on the creator and what they're doing. And I still love doing that, and there's always a time and place for that. Where we get fired up and where we know we have furthest to grow in and the furthest place we want to focus in is building a space where the camera is focused on the environment and what we can produce out of that. And now
our creation,
what we can build. And now seeing 16 other people get equally invested, if not more at times than we are, the hair is standing up on my arms thinking about what we just accomplished the last 10 weeks in the full 20 weeks this whole year, pushing out 3,600 headphones over those 20 weeks, is incredible. And seeing every single person step up in their role, whether it's Aaron, helping out with producing and figuring out new ways to do it, whether we're outside on the deck of Grays or doing it inside where we're trying to push it to the second level and a big screen on the first level that feels like a drive-in movie theater, to then weather issues to a tent, and the casting team with AJ and Beth, and the list goes on and on. But to hear their feedback week after week and how they want to grow this thing and how they want to push it forward and how they see the potential. And then for us to grand slam the season finale and everyone come up to us and be like, let's win season four. How can I help? I would love to be back. It's very rewarding.
It is, man. It's like rewarding in different ways that we've kind of never experienced before, because you're right that we've always been the ones like on camera recording the podcast, watching our downloads rise, you know, watching the kind of impact that has happened around us. But I think we kind of just took that same intention and just put it into something completely new, and we were rewarded with, you know, something that we've never felt before, which is just like we took our passion and bestowed it upon a team, and now they're equally, if not more, passionate about certain, you know, aspects and of the brand and everything else, man. So I think just like our persistence and working through that and being able to build that is just something that I'll probably be most proud of this year, you know. It, and I just think it's cool to grow up, I guess. I guess it's just cool to grow up, and it's fun to continue to try and figure this stuff out, because when you tell the story in verse, like you're saying, like our path went from, you know, podcasting, the throwing boat parties, to you're now running a dating show. Like there's no like rhyme or reason for any one of those paths, but there's literally a good linear progression of what we've done. And it's always just been about, you know, following what we've actually wanted to do and adjusting with the times and being in two separate states now for over 2 years, but then now putting together these crazy productions and just finding what feels good is typically what Yoga with Adrian says. And that's kind of what we do.
Oh, finding what feels good, dude. That's exactly what it is. I mean, I know we are like, we're full speed ahead, and like we are, yeah, we're putting forth our best foot time and time again, and it takes a ton of work, but taking a step back and doing like recording this podcast with you right now, like it makes me feel like the kid. I'm still a kid, I'm 26, but it makes me feel like we're sitting in our college house as juniors in college, getting this thing back started. Like every single time we record the podcast, that's where my body goes. That's where my energy goes. Like I'm sitting on that weird futon with a snowball mic in front of us, and we got Steve-O in the corner, not doing anything, but got a huge smile on his face with a laptop in his lap.
Super excited to be there.
Super excited to be there. Like that energy is instilled in everything we do, and I think that's why people gravitate towards it. I know that's why people gravitate towards it. I'm proud to continue to do this with you. It is, it's an endeavor that I'm, always excited to wake up and do, because I know I have you at my side.
Totally. And I could say the same for you, man. We have such a, awesome, we complement each other in so many different ways, and, it's fun to just take on some of these new endeavors and try and figure out how to make it work. And I think again, talking with your dad and just like explaining this kind of like our process to one another, was another thing I just really, really appreciated. And he's like, wow, you know, Decky, you're the engineer, and Andrew's, you know, the one who's on the front lines operating this thing. And he's got to see like how our brains work together. Like we have an episode, and you know, episode one, you know, Queen gets way too hammered on stage, and we have 85 other problems. And as you're telling me every single problem on the phone, like 2 days later, I'm writing every single one down, and we're trying to figure out a solution for every single one. And just like the analytical approach of like conquering and destroying problems one week at a time. And eventually, like you're saying, the Grand Slam season three finale of the Day Night Podcast, that thing was minced. Even the episode before, absolutely minced. And I think just like that routinized process of you and I trying to figure out, okay, you know, we're rolling right back into podcasts, and we're rolling right back into fundraising. You know, we're going right into, you know, trying to support something we've never done before. What are the problems? What are the solutions? How are we going to keep going back forward? And that's why the podcast came back up. Like, let's get intentional. Let's interview people we're curious in. Let's really connect with people in the space and see how we can move that needle just a little bit forward. And I just think, like that conversation we had 2 nights ago where I called you, I was like, dude, I like don't know how we're going to do this. I really don't feel like I want to do this sometimes. And just working through it and talking through the why behind every single step, every single conversation that we're about to have, every single thing and opportunity we have to basically, you know, work through this fundraiser, it all started to make way more sense. It started to just really put my anxiety at bay. And that to me is just like the reason why I love building anything with you, because there's such a tangible solution and a belief that everything always works out the way it should.
Yes, it always does. And I think that's why like we treat it like it's going to work out every situation. And like mm-hmm. we don't go unnoticed. We don't leave it under what's the saying? Like leave no stone unturned.
Sure.
That saying. That's the one I'm looking for.
That's the one.
We don't leave any stones unturned. And because we like to address it, like if you're not feeling good about what we're doing, if I'm not feeling good about what we're doing, we are going to talk about it because there's no point in doing it, or we'll figure out why we don't like it and figure out, okay, that's why. Let's have someone else step in and figure out if they would like to do that. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, man. Like, it's
like, would you ever want to post an Instagram story again?
No.
If you had the choice, would you ever do it?
No.
Like, you know, like there's just random things that like I would never want to have to produce this very podcast and we'd have to do ever again. I'd love, but I know someone who absolutely will. And I'm totally down to coordinate and make it all happen. Like there's just certain things that I just think are funny, like that are just part of the growth. Like I'm so excited to like try and do, you know, the day night podcast on the road, but there's going to get a point in time where I'm like, the last thing I want to do is fly to Denver right now, or like the last thing I want to do is go to this event. But then eventually you and I are going to come up with this idea that, you know what, maybe we can hire someone else to go there for us, or like, you know, there's always the solutions become so clear, I guess. And it happens because we talk to each other about it, and it happens because we are unwilling to do something that we don't like to do.
And, yes, well, no, we're gonna pour into what we love doing, and
yeah, and we'll do the hard stuff. We'll do the worthy things. But if it starts feeling like a chore, if it starts feeling like it doesn't make a lot of sense to do that, then we got to figure out a solution to it. And I think that's probably one of my problems. And I've voiced this plenty of times, but it's just like I love sprinting and never stopping, and I get burnt out pretty quick.
No. Let's pause. You get burnt out. You get burnt out in a way like you can go forever and you will burn out. You never realize when you're burnt out until like it's like, oh no, why didn't you realize that earlier?
I know. Totally. And I think I when I tell the story of the burnout in hindsight, if I just gave myself a little bit of time to breathe, I would have been able to do even more. And I think my anxiety creeps in when I'm not doing anything. So like the holiday seasons are like always the worst sometimes for me because I feel like I'm not getting anything done, or like the off seasons in between like DNP seasons, or like if there's something where like things aren't constantly happening, I get like incredibly anxious and feel like I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to get out of that mindset. And I've started to work and recognize that stuff and actually like internalize it for the first time ever. And I think this refueling idea is really where my headspace finds some peace.
Yes, refueling. And I think what it always comes back to is something that you shared with me a few months ago, Rick Rubin talking about you know, goals and accomplishing something. Like you're like, this is something we've talked about numerous times on the podcast, but like 5-year plan, 10-year plan, that is something that you and I have removed our headspace from, and we do get lost in it from time to time because you need to have some intention behind it to grow a business. But what we, where we're rooted in on a daily basis is, and this goes back to like why what we're going to pour into what we enjoy doing. I want to, my goal is in 5 years to feel the way that I'm feeling right now. And that is like having this creative energy, being a part of something that is built to last potentially generations, and like the way that it's talked about or the way that it can leave an impact on just the people that are involved doing it. That is my headspace on what I'm trying to do through work, through personal life. And when Rick Rubin talked about the way that he brings music out of some of the best artists, it's not like, hey, we're gonna create the best song ever. It's like, who are you? We're gonna bring the best version of you out and like pour into that as much as possible. Totally. And when we have a chance to do that on a team basis, and with the Date Night podcast, and then with contestants coming through, with our listeners, with the vendors that are getting involved, every little nuance to it is it keeps growing, and the tree's roots are just getting deeper and deeper. And now there's little apples dangling from the tree.
People are eating, dude. We're making apple pie all of a sudden.
We're making apple pie.
Well, apple crisper. Uh-oh. That's now we're bearing fruits. That's bad. That's badass, dude.
The fruits of our labor.
Fruits of our labor. Wow. Everything's so metaphorical. fantastic. Look at us, dude, back into podcasting. Sick, man. Well, I think that just about wraps it up. That was a solid 40 minutes, man. I really don't have much else other than that I love you. I'm glad that we're...
Hey, real quick, let's wrap it up. As I know, this is going to be the only one we do this year, the two of us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. I'll do the same here. We're going to wrap it up for old time's sake because...
Nice, okay. We're recording.
I love how we've always finished our podcasts. And that's, with an average quality of what did you learn and a feel good story.
Of course. Andrew, thank you. Yes. Back to the roots.
Yeah. I know we're like, hey, for anyone that's listening right now, the Joey Schools of the world, the Mark Dowdles, the Patrick Larsons. Thank you. Thank you for making it this far. Thank you, marketing interns. This is the back
Nick
end
Priz.
Show.
I bet Nick Priz is listening.
Nick Priz, always. This is the back end show. Welcome.
Nick Gugamos. I bet Gugamos is listening.
Hey, congrats Googs on making it, as a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, congrats, Googs. Aaron Rodgers finally got his target. Anyways, Andrew, go ahead.
Yes. Which one we start with? Let's start with our average quality.
Have at it.
Let's have at it. Okay. So my average quality is... So I recently was traveling. I took a two-week just like excursion. I went from Pittsburgh with my dad to Atlanta for Thanksgiving, and then to Hilton Head with my parents, and was able to just take on the adventures of Airport Andy. And my average quality is now realizing that I'm not as efficient as I thought I was in the airport.
That's fair.
Yeah, like I may have lost my touch. I may have a sense of arrogance now with being a tagline as Airport Andy and my Twitter bio being no one is more efficient in the airport than me.
What was this realization?
I noticed that I couldn't find a coffee shop, which it's like there's things all over the place in an airport, but I was like, I spent like 15 minutes trying to find coffee in the morning, and that just like stressed me out for no reason. The TSA line, I picked the wrong line, and I saw like the person, two people behind me, finish before me, and I left a water bottle in my bag. Which was like super disappointing.
Day one boot camp. No way.
Yeah.
You left a full, as full as it gets?
Not full, but like, yeah. I mean, it's full. It was full.
You didn't down it before. Wow.
Yeah.
That's tragic. You might as well go fly somewhere and fly back immediately. Just do a quick round trip so you maximize your time in the airport and get some reps in, because... Maybe get a connecting flight in Atlanta again, because that's embarrassing. Honestly, that's so bad.
I needed to rethink my life. I needed to restart. Right. And to top it all,
I mean, what a great humbling experience, though. I mean, the guy who was the most efficient in the airport is not as efficient as we once thought. I mean, that's fantastic. what a fantastic average quality that you can now build upon and and regain your throne.
I need to regain my throne. And my last thing with this is the worst of it all. I lent my suitcase to a friend, in doing so, I didn't check the pockets after he returned that suitcase. And when I brought it through TSA, he had just gone to Montana, where for some reason he needed a switchblade. And I go through
criminal.
Yeah, I go through TSA with a switchblade, and I walk, and it goes through the scanner, and this woman like grabs it immediately. Like there was like six people all of a sudden huddled over this suitcase. And they're like, whose suitcase is this? And I raise my hand and I walk over there and they're like, do you know you have a switchblade in your suitcase? And I go, I do not have a switchblade. I don't own a switchblade. And they're like,
well, I've never even caught anything.
I don't know how to use a switchblade. And
switch what?
Do you know what pocket's in? And I'm like, no, I don't. So she unzips it, pulls it out, and it's a switchblade. And I nearly like shit myself. And I was like, okay, so what do we do from here? Because that ain't mine. And she's like, I'm going to throw this out and I'm going to escort you off the premise. And like I go white in the face. And then she's like, then you can come back in and go through TSA one more time and make sure that you don't have any more weapons on you.
The factory reset on your TSA experience.
Just it's the old turn off the laptop, turn it back on, and it replenishes everything.
Wow. I mean, that's awesome. I got to say, that is awesome. That's fantastic. I mean, you're down to whoever you lent it to is down to switchblade, though. I hope you're maybe taking a trip to Montana to regain that or something.
Yeah, he'll figure it out.
Okay.
Average cool. quality. Airport Andy needs to refocus.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I will combat that or I guess respond with my average quality in that I am terrible at negotiating and purchasing cars. And I've shown that to be so terrible. Like, as of today, I'm going to be Christina and I are going to go buy a 4Runner, and we're really excited about that because you know we need
snaps for the 4Runner, dude. Snaps for the 4Runner
lasts long. It's a great car. Really stoked about it. Lots of good things about what I'm about to be doing going into purchase this car. But in doing so, I've realized how bad I actually am at buying a car. So this is what I did 2 years ago when I needed to buy a car. 2 years ago, I showed up on like a Tuesday looking to buy a car because I needed one. And I showed up like I just had scrolled like used car near me, found a place and I just walked the lot and I thought I saw something I liked. And the salesman was there and I was like, can I get this one? He's like, would you like to test drive? I was like, you know, that's not a bad idea. I get in the car. I drive around the corner, drive around the block once. Pull back in and I said, I'll take it. And so that was it. All I did was I showed up, drove it around the block, confirmed that it had Bluetooth connection because that's really that was my non-negotiable at the time, and good miles per gallon, which that's easy to get if you get a small car. And I just bought it and I just like, and you know, took a loan out, did the whole thing, and that was it. And then I find out, you know, 2 years later, I mean, the car treated me well for the most part, had about $5,000 in, not $5,000, probably like $3,000 in repairs and things. Like the AC unit just went out on me like within a month. And right. I'm like, well, you can't not have AC.
In Arizona.
So that was $1,600 right off the bat.
You took it to San Diego how many times?
14 times.
Yeah, that's going to put some damage on the vehicle.
I drove the wheels off the thing. I mean, I got it with like 119,000 miles. It has 170 now. The tires, I didn't know the tires were bad until I drove it. Like I was maybe 5 or 6 months driving it already. And Doyle, my landlord at the time, was like, dude, you should not be driving that anywhere because your tires are going to explode because of how bad they are. And I was like, oh shit, you know, there's another like $700. And then so I find out that the way you're supposed to buy a car is so much different than what I did. So I'm being told now.
Show me the Carfax? Show me the Carfax?
Well, okay, so Carfax, just do your research online. Find the car that you want, figure out, you know, how well it holds its value over the time you'd be taking out a loan or whatever it may be. You know, find a car that doesn't have 119,000 miles on it. Try maybe, you know, 50,000, something maybe less. Do your research on what it costs to repair the car. So if you're going to buy a Jeep, a Land Rover, a Mercedes, a BMW.
Or even like on the lower end, like a, for some reason, I feel like a Mitsubishi is just like difficult to repair.
Those are outdated. Potentially.
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, anything from like a General Motors car, that, you know, that's going to be fine. You know, Toyota has a lot of makes and models. They're fine. Subaru, I've heard great things about their repair. So I didn't, I never considered that either.
What kind of car do you, like, remind me what car you have right now?
I have a Hyundai Elantra GT hatchback, and it is a cheap, luckily a very normal, moderate way, you know, car to maintain, I guess. So the maintain cost is fine there. So I did blindly okay on that. But the, what I didn't understand is the deal, the point of sale. When you go into the dealer, what are you supposed to do? Like, the, when they give you your their first offer, never take it. You always talk them down, no matter what. And all of my employees at work were telling me, and I haven't done this yet, I'm very terrified to try, which is why this is like more or less my average quality. So they say, you walk out. You don't even, you show up to buy the car and you leave without buying anything. And that has to happen. Otherwise, you're not going to get what you want. So I have to go in there. I have to schedule an appointment with the guy that, and, hey, I want to see these 4Runners. And then I got to say a price. And then when he doesn't meet my price and I continually try and get this, I have to leave. And I have to wait for him to text me back. Say, actually, I'll do this. Or like negotiate from afar.
I got a good pivot for you. And this could be...
I'm nervous.
This could be... This would close the deal. And you probably might get it even lowered. So you leave the dealership and Christina returns.
And just Christina.
Just Christina. And Christina plays hardball.
Just Christina.
Yeah, Steen goes in there and absolutely grand slams it. Bring at least pitch this her pitch this idea, because I feel like she'd get a little giddy in potentially pulling this off.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely brings a hammer down when it comes to verbal confrontations.
Right.
I really personally can't take that sometimes. And that might be a good idea. And, she'll
probably poke him, you know? Hey, buddy.
Point at him and stare right into his soul, you know. Normal Steen stuff. I think another thing too, which is, you know, a little bit more smaller, lower hanging fruit, I would say, is basically if they finance the car for you, like if they take the loan out through the dealership, there's like a buy rate and a sell rate. So the buy rate is what the dealership gets from like their bank, and then they add a couple interest points, percentage points on top of that, and then they sell you this loan. So like they'll get it from their bank at like 4%, but then they'll give you it like at 7%, and then they take that 3% every time you pay, it goes just directly to the dealership. So then furthermore, you should always ask them that when you go in, but you should always be prepared to just have a credit union pre-approved rate for roughly the amount that you need.
Got it.
And I had no idea what a credit union was until today.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Do you know what that is? So a credit union is...
It's a group of people.
It's a nonprofit business that gives loans out. That's it. So they, because they're nonprofit, they have naturally lower rates.
Got it.
And so if you get approved through a credit union, your rate is just going to be way significantly lower. And they're always trying to give car loans out in credit unions for whatever reason I'm reading. So that's something else that I'm considering.
It's
amazing.
It's like the NCAA. They're always they're giving you can train.
Dude, there's it's so a nonprofit. Much to buying a car.
Yeah.
I just never knew. I just had no idea that it was so... that it could be won in such a way.
Dude, you have to get in there and be savvy.
Anyways, I have to buy a car. I'm leaving for Park City on Friday the 16th. And going to do it maybe in 2 days. Got to have a four-wheel drive car. Got to get rid of the other car. You know, lots of jockeying around that's happening out here.
Mm.
So crazy. That's my average quality, is just that whole process. I know it's kind of a long-winded answer, but I just really had to expose all the average qualities that I've portrayed in the car buying and selling industry.
Doesn't it feel good to get that out there, though?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, having that weight lifted off my chest is, you know, astronomically impressive. I really feel good.
Oh, sweet, man. So those are our average qualities. Yeah. And hey, wait, let's transition here to what did we learn?
Snake draft.
Yeah. Fire away.
I'll take care. I can take care of this. What did I learn today? Well, I learned that it's never good to assume. I did some bad assumption work on my job here, finishing up in Arizona, and delayed the very last thing of the project by 2 days, unfortunately. So, you know, that was a hard pill to swallow, you know, when everybody
celebrated.
Yeah, everyone's like getting ready to celebrate, like, here's like the last thing we got to do. 3 weeks prior to that, I made a wrong assumption. I'm not going to get into the details of it. It wasn't anything crazy, just a lot to explain. So everyone and their boss is here to like for the final show, and all of a sudden something bad happens, and it was based on an assumption I made. And then I had to explain myself, and then of course 2 days later today, it's all good. But you know, learned a hard lesson there. Just it's easy path versus worthy path. I was faced with a decision 2 weeks ago. I took the easy path and not the worthy path, and assumed everything was going to be good with the easy path decision. Turns out I should have taken that worthy path.
Hey, but you did finish the job well in advance, which is another impressive feat. And in the world of construction, I haven't heard many stories
of something finishing on time.
On time, let alone early.
Right. Yeah. So we had it was a 14-month project, and we did it in 9.5 months. And I'm proud to say I was the one running the schedule. You know, not to brag. Really, you know, we had a strong team. We had a lot more guys than we normally have, and we finished it out, dude. I'm more than stoked about it. So,
love
although
it.
Although 9.5 in 2 days is not the end of the world, obviously. So, it wasn't a risk free assumption, but obviously, you know, it had consequences.
Love it. I love it.
What did you learn today, dude?
What did I learn? Well, real quick, what did I learn from this hour? I'm a little rusty. Andy transitions didn't quite flow as well as I would love to have flown, or just kind of ebbed and flowed throughout the podcast. I felt like you took care of most of the transitions during our podcast, which is unheard of.
Wild.
I also learned this saying, and I feel like this is why I'm playing in this space of a lot of metaphors today. I heard this saying. I tweeted out last night. What was it? I want to get it right. Shoot, I should have had this ready. 1 second. There's no bunk beds in the graveyard.
There's no... Say that again, sorry.
There's no bunk beds in the graveyard.
Why is there no bunk beds in the graveyard?
Because
well, I guess, yeah, it's just you're burying yourself.
You bury yourself, dude. Don't you can't follow someone else into the graveyard in your own little hole. Build your own path.
Build your own path. I like it.
There's no bunk beds.
Live and die by the sword. Live and die by your sword. I like it.
Really good.
No bunk beds in the graveyard. Where'd you find that?
TikTok.
What's your source? Okay, nice.
Yeah,
sick, man. That's awesome.
This guy on TikTok, he also had like 6 other sayings, and it was sick. This guy was electric. I saved it.
Sick, man. Well, I love that. I love you. I love that we had this 1 hour together. I think we kept it to a tight 1 hour. Good, no fluff whatsoever.
Zero fluff.
But
I will end it on this note with our feel good story. Has to be the purpose of this podcast. Having the ability to raise money. For mental health for the Masonic Children's Hospital, being asked to be part of this and taking up this opportunity upon us and bringing the community together. We're doing it for the kids, and as that has been the theme of the last 3 years of when we do these fundraisers, and I'm excited to take on this challenge. There's no better person to do it with.
Totally, man. I agree. Just a couple of reminders, 12/17 at Embrace North, we will have our mental health fundraiser. We'll be doing some plunging, some sauna, some working out. Be there, absolutely. And then secondly, the donation link to share and support is in the description of this very podcast. And then also be free to follow us on Instagram at The Back Pocket Productions and keep up to date on everything going on, man. I think that's about it.
That's a wrap.
Love you, man.
Love you too.
Take care.
Take care.
Seeing double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man. I think it's time to huddle. Yeah.